Hey there, folks. It's the frequency from beyond space and time, at the same time, every time. You're listening to Magtar Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Magtar Radio. I'm here on this wonderful, relaxed Saturday night, my bad, hanging out in the air conditioning with my co-host, Christian.
Hey.
And, you know, just it's a good evening to be behind the microphone, as usual. For any of you that are new to the show, Magtar Radio, we talk about the unexplained. We talk about monsters, ghosts, cryptids, conspiracies, anything weird that you might be uncomfortable bringing up at the dinner table. I mean, except me, of course. I'll be sitting at dinner with my wife and I'll just be like, hey, did you know that, like, people are still seeing Mothman around, like, O'Hare Airport to this day? And she's like, I don't care.
I was just thinking about, like, the weirdly high number of Mothman sightings in Chicago today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Mothman is hanging out in Chicago.
I don't know what dude's, like, affinity is for that town, but I'm getting kind of nervous.
People are seeing fucking, like, gargoyles and shit. Like, a lot of some dude saw, like, bat, like a, like, man bat. I don't want to say Batman because that gives the wrong implication, but people are seeing, like, bat men in Chicago. Lots of winged humanoid sightings in Chicago.
That's fucking terrifying, actually. Whoa.
It's fucking awesome. There's a sightings map.
Because, like, if they want to get out of the hustle and bustle of the city, where are they going to go? The cornfields right outside?
Yeah.
Forget
where
that.
Where we used to live?
Forget all of that. I hate that so much.
Oh, yeah. But, anyway, how's your week been?
It was a bit of a bother. It was a tough one.
Tough one?
It's, you know, you do the 9 to 5 and you're like, maybe this is the rest of my life. And some weeks you chug along like a good little gear, and sometimes it gets you, and it got me this time.
Yeah. Hey, man, you just need some WD-40 on the gear. You'll be running perfect again.
No, the weekend's a good refresher. I got a nice sushi plate for dinner. I got my nice cappuccino here in the closet right now. I'm all set to go. And, you know, funnily enough, speaking of the sushi platter, that relates pretty well to my topic for this week.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
So, there was something tickling me, like, in the back of my mind as I was looking for a topic this week. And
yeah,
I got the sudden urge to specifically to look into Caribbean mermaid stories.
Uh-huh.
Something about it just seemed really cool. I was reading about, like, the Saragossa Sea up by the Carolina coasts, and the weird thing with the eels in the
Bermuda
Triangle.
Yeah, the thing that we talked about when we did the export episode.
I'd heard, like, people from the science community, like biologists and educated folk, go into deeper depth on the eel sort of issue. And it turns out it's kind of a well-documented phenomenon that, like, eels go to the Bermuda Triangle area for some strange reason.
So they... yeah. I mean, it's pretty much how they broke it down. They go to the Bermuda Triangle, and then baby eels come out.
Well, the more, I would say, a studious folk gave a theory that it's something to do with the currents and sort of the ocean's patterns around that area, that it's a very weirdly still area. And it's also why ships tend to act funky there and maybe sink more often, is because it's not a very, like, movement-heavy portion of the ocean.
Wrong. It's a portal to the fourth dimension. All right.
No, it's where the geth live. I know.
No, I didn't know that about. So it's like a still part of the ocean. Like there's not much going on there with currents and whatnot.
Something about how the currents interact there makes it kind of ominously still, and that like weird phenomenons could happen in those spaces. And for some reason,
oh, that's very strange.
It gets the eels going. And I think me associating mermaids and mermaid stories with the Caribbean sort of speaks to the prevalence of that sort of specific kind of mermaid story.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean and that kind of stuff.
Crashed like sirens on a rock and the boat crashes.
Mm-hmm. But over the course of the study, I was able to find so many, like, sick international mermaid stories that I'm kind of over, like, seashell bra ladies. Like, that's old news.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, seashell bra, little mermaid, fucking...
Exactly.
It's a wash. It's a fantasy, okay? Like, we talked about this back when we did our Horrors of the Deep episode, where, like, dudes were just, like, these dudes were out on boats for, like, 4 years at a time, and, you know, you start to get a little down bad.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly it.
in a time, in a day and age where you would be, like, put to death for laying with another man, then you would just get down bad for the mermaids.
And that's our surface level, our introduction to the story. It's the commonly held belief that some of these original European explorers were seeing manatees and not really understanding what they were looking at and thought maybe it was a voluptuous mermaid. And, like, that's base level. That's where our story begins. But I was able to draw it back almost to its root, or as early as I can get it to go. And people who listen to every episode are going to remember this from the Step Demons. Earliest root is a Akkadian and Assyrian myth of a god blessing one of their followers, I believe it is, or some sort of like holy person with this half fish, half human form.
Oh, I don't like that.
And it's believed that that is the seed that was able to sort of flow from West Asian sort of Mesopotamian cultures over to Greece, to the Sirens, you know, of Odyssey and Homer fame.
Yeah.
To then allow that to go and become the mermaids that we know today.
So, I don't really, that's weird, you know, because a lot of these angles are like, oh, it's a naturally occurring creature. There are humanoids that just live under the ocean, and they did the whole time, and, you know, now they're extinct or they're extremely rare. But when you tell me that a priest was transformed into a half fish man, that gives me, like, Dagon vibes, like an obelisk in the ocean.
Oh, like, yeah. Like... There's a really interesting story of I believe it's a Persian Gulf mermaid, and there was this whole underwater society, and they describe them as like this weird mirror world that's living under the water as fish people. Like, it's so prolific that it kind of makes me feel some kind of way about it. You know what I'm saying?
The best case scenario is that, like, their society looks like a Star Wars Episode 1, you know, when Jar Jar takes them under underneath the water, and their society's like pretty cool.
The weird, like, pretty cool bubble spires.
Yeah.
I just, over the week, I was reading, you know, basically every society that had life on the ocean has these kinds of myths and stories.
Right, right.
So,
I mean, it's going to happen.
Where are these misconceptions, or where are these sightings? Like, is it? There's not manatees everywhere, and dolphins aren't bodacious. What's going on?
I don't know.
So,
like I said, you get down bad. You get scurvy. Maybe you hallucinate when you have scurvy. Let me see.
Oh yeah, if that's a side effect.
Scurvy cause hallucinations. Yeah.
Is that a
same symptom? Time, scurvy sufferers experience either stupor or powerful dreams and hallucinations.
Oh shit.
So you can totally hallucinate on scurvy.
Oh geez, I'm gonna go like suck a lime after this recording.
And I mean, like, if you got a whole group, like a whole boat full of dudes is scurvy hallucinating, you know?
Tripping out, yeah, looking out over the waves for your ninth week in a row.
It wouldn't be that unbelievable for them to all get back and be like, yeah, we saw some fucking hot fish girls out there, bro.
And so I wanted to spend these few precious moments with you this week to share some of the coolest mermaid stories I could find from all the various cultures I was digging into.
Before we go into that, did you watch the Discovery Channel thing growing up?
The Discovery Channel thing? What are you referring to?
There was a Discovery Channel mockumentary about mermaids, but it was presented as 100% fact.
You're not talking about like the Disney Channel show like H2O, are you?
No. It was like a no shit, like it was filmed like a documentary. They like tried to make this as realistic as possible, and they presented everything as fact, and they gave nowhere in the bottom did it say like, oh, this dramatization or like not real.
No.
Or anything. They just made an entire fake documentary about mermaids being real and it getting covered up by the government and just all sorts of wild fucking shit. And like, people believed it. Like, I mean, I was 8, so like, I believed it. But like, adults were like, holy shit, mermaids are real.
Damn, Billy Clinton never told me about that. Like, what? Where were they living?
I don't know. In the Pacific?
Okay.
The ocean, probably? No. Yeah, they just made a fake documentary about fucking about mermaids being real.
That's
presented it as fact, and then like made a fuck ton of money off of it because people thought it was real, and they just never corrected themselves.
Do you think that was part in the growing, I would say, performance art that is mermaiding today?
No, because in this one, they're like gross looking, like CGI monsters.
Oh, it's not like top half ladies, bottom half fish. It's more like
no,
anthropomorphic.
Let me get you a picture of these fucking Discovery Channel mermaids.
I mean, if they look
I thought mermaids were real. Like, I was like, no, mom, mermaids are real. And she's like, that's fake. And I'm like, it's not fake.
No, mom, I can't swim in the river. A river's mermaid's going to come all the way up from the ocean and grab me.
It, like, proposes this fucking wacky fucking, like, out of Atlantis theory as opposed to, like, like, currently we operate on, like, the out of Africa theory, you know?
Do you mean, like, all like, human life from Atlantis?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, that these are the first versions of man.
I mean,
but like, oh my god, look at that shit.
Oh.
My bad. My bad. It was Animal Planet? I don't know.
They kind of look like Avatar aliens. James Cameron?
Yeah.
No, that's horrendous.
Oh, it's fucking hilarious.
The body found.
They're just like, yeah, it's real.
I mean, if they wanted to, approach it in a evolutionary way, I think it's bonkers that a fish crawled out of the ocean and said, this is rules, I'm going to start breathing air instead. And then enough time has passed for air-breathing creatures to go back into the ocean and evolve back into sea beasts and go, nah, we're still breathing air. Like, a whale and a dolphin was a creature that was on land that was before that a creature in the ocean that just did like a 180 over the course of millions of years.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
So
yeah, it's very, very stupid.
Maybe there's a little part of me that says, you know, if enough of us hang out in the ocean, one day we'll birth like a fish kid.
Yeah, okay, sure. But like, evolution dictates that you would have to convince us sentient humans, right? You would have to convince generations upon generations of humans, like, no, hang out in the water all day, every day, like, and in a million years, our fucking descendants will have gills. Like, it wouldn't happen.
I don't even think we'd get to the gills. Like, we might get some webbed fingers in a million years.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Maybe we'd be more streamlined and our noses would be flat or something.
You just think gills would take longer?
Bro, whales don't even have gills. And they're way ahead of us.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
wouldn't whales need like oxygen though to maintain their size? Isn't that why they're super big?
Oh, is that why?
Why they don't have gills? I don't know. I don't have a single scientific credential to my name, so I could just be talking out my ass.
I'm trying to think of it. Like, whale sharks are pretty big, and I think they have gills, but they're actually sharks.
Yeah.
And like squids, do they breathe water air?
Yeah.
Shit's crazy. But anyway, and before we, you know, challenge our biological knowledge, I'm going to take it back to the things that I do have. So,
okay.
So we parked a little bit in the Siren and Greek origins of the mermaids.
Yeah, that's about where we were.
King
Seashell
classics right there. So the one that I don't really hear people talk about is the legend that Alexander the Great's sister, whose name is Thessalonic, is now a mermaid that lives in the Mediterranean Sea.
What? Like, I've never heard that.
There's some sort of legend spiraling around that she had become a mermaid over the course of her life and had now lives in the sea, and that she will swim through the ocean and reach out to ships nearby and talk to them, and she'll ask, what is the news of my brother? Like, what's happening with Alexander? And
yeah,
you are supposed to reply that he is thriving, he's great, and that he's the king of all the world. And she'll be happy, and she'll go on her way. But if you tell her that Alexander's dead, she'll sink your ship.
What if like, some dudes pull up, and she's like, hey, how's Alexander? And they just start speaking, like, Turkish. You know?
What if there's a shipment coming from, like, Chile, and they're heading through the Mediterranean Sea, and they're like, gay? What? And she's not gonna know how to handle that one.
It's pretty funny.
That's
definitely more in the realm of like a myth story, mm-hmm. You know. But it's still interesting. Did they say why she got turned into a mermaid? Was it like a punishment or something?
No, they never gave me the reason. It starts as fact. She is a mermaid. She's out there in the sea.
Man, Alexander the Great, isn't he supposedly a demigod in myth too?
I'm sure dude's got enough like life clout to make it up there. Yeah,
like he's like son of Zeus or some shit.
Wasn't the deal like if anyone did anything great enough, they just gave you like demigod status? Like, oh, he's so great, therefore he must have been touched by the gods.
Like Pythagoras.
Yeah, but the
Pythagoras,
only
Pythagoras, son of Apollo,
son of, you know, that angel in Evangelion, the pyramid.
Ramael?
Yeah, Ramael. No. The next one I'd like to bring to you, there were two sightings, and this one's a little different, and it might be more related to the Ningen, if you remember that classic creature.
Ooh, I love the Ningen.
There were two sightings of humanoid fish beings in 1610 by Richard Whiteborn and Henry Hudson. Do you know either of those explorers?
No.
They were two dudes who were exploring like Newfoundland and what would become Hudson Bay and that sort of upper Canadian region, because they were looking for the shortcut to China.
What?
So Henry Hudson...
When was this?
In 1610, Henry Hudson was like, oh yeah, there's going to be the secret Northwest Passage. Like, you can scoot right over Canada and it'll take you straight to China.
No way.
And he was trying to find it, and he... the Ningen, he looks so stupid. And he, after a couple of landings, was able to write down and support that they found a lot of these weird mermaid-like sightings up in, like, the Arctic Sea.
Yeah, I mean, that tracks with the Ningen.
And then, I don't know if you've heard this part of Henry Hudson's story, but after a particularly hard winter, he got mutinied and sent to drift in Hudson Bay.
No way.
They were like, it's cold, we're never going to find this passage, you're a prick talking about this mermaid, and his crew fucking sent him on a dinghy with like a couple of his boys who were loyal.
That's funny as fuck. They just condemned him to death.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I mean, that's the way of the sea.
And that one, it kind of cuts against the cloth of our like sexy warm water mermaid stories.
Yeah.
Like, if that being was able to live in this kind of environment, what sort of different shape or form do you think it would have?
If it lived in the Arctic?
Yeah, in these warmer, farther north oceans and seas.
Well, I mean, you're definitely not going to be wearing a seashell bra in the Arctic.
True.
But I don't know, it'd probably have, like, thicker skin. It'd probably be like, you know, it'd probably look a lot like the Ningen, so that it can blend in with like
snow
or ice.
Yeah.
So that it can hunt, you know.
I'm imagining like.
Did I say thicker skin already?
Yeah, like I was imagining even like bloated, like sort of like blubbery.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it'd be a thick boy.
I mean, so maybe in the Caribbean Sea, you see manatees, and in the Arctic Sea, you see walruses, and, you know...
Oh, it's for sure.
It's a hard life out there on the boat in 1610.
It seems like even today, it's a hard life out on a boat.
I knew this guy. He was into the sort of pre-industrial life, and he told me that he would sail the Atlantic Ocean, and it would take 6 weeks to get to England from the East Coast.
And you dumb as hell.
And his ass was doing it on like sailboats, like cloth boats.
Oh, he was actually doing it, or he was just talking about how cool it
is? No, he does it. He's done it a couple of times, and that he really enjoys like the actual legitimate sailing.
Fuck that. Does he do it like on his own? Is he a solo sailor?
No, he has a crew. He runs like big sailboats.
Oh, okay. I got curious about it one day, and I was watching. I watched a range of videos, and one was this guy who was with, like, I don't know what it's called, like the Maritime Navy,
mm-hmm.
and they're like they're essentially just like boat mercenaries, where like you sign up, and it's like, hey, yeah, we need deckhands for this fucking super freighter going from fucking Indonesia to fucking Florida. And then you're just like, yeah, I'll take it. And you fucking, you're on that boat.
What a strange, like, mercenary life that is.
Yeah. And apparently, like, there's some gray area with the Maritime Navy where, like, you're technically in the actual Navy, but they can't call on you for war. I don't know. It's weird.
Okay. I'm putting myself in their shoes, or trying to at least, and I'm imagining, like, looking out, it's like day 300 out on the boat, and
yeah,
if I see something like I don't understand, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can stay on that tiny boat after looking out.
Absolutely not.
And the something happens.
I mean, you're out in the middle of nowhere. Like, so when you go outside and it's dark when you're like at home, mm-hmm. you know, like the ambient light from street lights, gas stations, and all that shit, but like out there it's just like the abyss, especially if it's a cloudy night.
It's the abyss, and it's moving and churning, you know.
Oh,
like at your feet. Oh,
and I'm not talking about like, oh, like, yeah, there's like some sort of sea critters down there. Like, there's nothing. If you're in the middle of the ocean, there is nothing except for like migratory fish, but who knows if you're gonna pass one, who knows if you're gonna see one. Like, it's just, there's just nothing under you.
The nothing's more scary than the sharks.
Absolutely.
The endless empty void. Ooh.
Oh yes.
So
counter, like, yeah. Juxtaposed to that, I watched another video about a guy who would solo sail in a little sailboat.
Forget that.
And, like, fuck that. And, like, he's, like, vlogging it, and he's like, yeah. He's, like, an older gentleman. He's like, yeah, I can only, you know, I just got to get a couple hours of sleep during the daytime, because, like, if I sleep at night and this shit starts going crazy with the boat, I'm pretty much dead. And I'm like, ooh. Jesus fucking Christ.
One mess up. Yeah, no thanks.
Oh. It's insane. You'll never see me on a boat.
At all, like, ever. You're not like a cruise.
Sorry, I was taking a drink.
You're not a cruise ship kind of guy.
Not a cruise ship.
Well, I don't, you know.
Who's that one YouTuber, Bright Sun Films? Yeah, he ruined cruise ships for me.
I mean, they're disgusting petri dishes and like ecological disasters. So I have no desire to ride in a cruise ship.
And they crash. There's been a frequent. He does these, like, hour... I don't know if you've ever seen his videos, but he does, like, these hour-long videos where he documents everything that goes wrong with these, like, cruise ships that crashed.
No. Yeah. No, not at all.
Oh, very, very, very good videos.
I mean, I'm glad you brought that up, because I kind of wanted to try and square away the sort of duality that mermaids frequently have in myth and legends. You know, frequently they're depicted as either helpful, sexy, mysterious, water beings, and sometimes, you know, they're more malicious. They're going to, you know, attack you or be a siren or try and trick you.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm wondering, where the distinction lies in that sort of difference. Like, how do you know if your ship's going down, if you're going to find one of the happy mermaids or one of the, you know, the murder maids?
I don't know.
No, that one.
I guess I never considered that. The, like, I guess that's something to consider. But, I mean, there's also, like, the whole underground society or underwater society mermaids as well.
Oh yeah, like a where communal like thing.
Flying around with fucking tridents and shit.
Oh, more of like an Aquaman type thing.
I guess.
It's kind of. You know, sometimes I try, and when talking about these creatures or these sightings, it's a little tricky because I sometimes don't know if I'm talking about like a singular individual creature, like the Mothman, like capital M Mothman.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus the may or may not be civilized mermaids.
The some kind of sea creature. See, that's why when you do something like this with mermaids in that,
mm-hmm.
you kind of just got to bring what you find in the research, you know.
That was pretty much what I was going for this week. Just a wide, you know, net. Pardon the ecological disasters of that.
Yeah, because I mean. I did the same thing with the fucking the octopus monster or like the Jabba Fofi. Like we just ended up talking about spiders. Any and every giant spider.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that those make for bad episodes, but maybe it's just not. It's not getting to what you want, where like you want someone's close personal encounter with the Mothman. Oh, that, like, fucks them up for life.
I've still got a couple more nuggets for you to enjoy this mermaid story. So let me just start digging into some of these more fruitful parts. First off, how do you feel about Starbucks?
It's aight.
Okay. Do you know that their stupid logo isn't a mermaid?
Is or isn't?
Is not.
No, I did not know that. I thought it was a mermaid.
It is a variant creature known as the Melusine or the Melusine.
Okay.
This is a strictly European beast that frequently finds itself on flags or heraldry of noble houses. And it's sort of like a mermaid, but they oftentimes come with wings.
What?
Or two tails. Like, it's a mermaid with a little bit of a twist on it.
Okay.
And that was just the one little fun fact I could pull up, because I was like, if I'm doing mermaids, fuck it, Starbucks, them too.
Not... Didn't the Starbucks logo, she used to have, like, her boobs out?
Oh, did she? I'm not aware.
I don't know. Maybe people were down bad for the Starbucks mermaid.
The Starbucks mermaid.
You know someone is.
Oh, definitely.
There's someone out there that's listening to this that's like sweating right now.
I mean, I don't... You... Have you seen The Lighthouse?
I've not seen The Lighthouse yet. Isn't there a mermaid in that?
There's a graphic mermaid sex scene in The Lighthouse.
No, there's not.
There is a... You have... When approaching the mermaid sex, there's a lot of anatomical questions, and they are all answered and explained in The Lighthouse.
I'm looking it up right now.
Willem Dafoe will answer these questions for you.
Willem Dafoe?
Down bad for the Starbucks girl.
Oh, no!
Yep. Yep.
I googled it. Oh, wow.
That will not be making it in the video portion of this episode.
No, it will not.
Oh, my
Holy
goodness.
Hell.
Yep.
Man. Directors are really out here just throwing their fucking fetishes into their movie.
Raw on the screen for you to enjoy.
And they're like, no, it's just part of the movie, bro. The mermaid sex happened, okay?
Oh, God, I gotta bring this back to reality. So, another origin story for the mermaid or humanoid fish creature comes from the West African Yoruba religion. Have you heard of any of these orishas or gods or spirits of the Yoruba faith?
No.
Well, one, they kick ass. It's a really fucking cool pantheon.
Okay.
But the one in particular is the spirit known as Yamaya, typically associated with the water.
Okay.
And it's the spirit frequently depicted as this sort of glowing half fish, sometimes goddess, that never touches the water but floats just above it.
Uh-huh.
And there have been plentiful mermaid sightings along these sort of West African coasts attributed to that spirit in particular.
Okay.
And I'm going to close my portion of the episode with two really great contemporary mermaid sightings from the last 10 years.
Okay.
But before that, I wanted to give you a taste of some greasy, greasy things that people are doing to try to make a buck off of mermaid myths.
Oh, baby.
There is a very well-documented trick that these Dutch explorers would play on Europeans when they came back from China.
Yeah.
Of just mutilated monkeys and fish sewn together so that they could trick dudes into seeing mermaids.
Oh, that's fucked.
That they would just, you know, chop them up and make a little circus demon.
That's fucked. They would just sew that shit together?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's like a 700-year-old story about some Dutch dude. I guess 700 is a little long, but maybe like 400-year-old story of a Dutch dude who brought a monkey fish who said it was a mermaid from China.
That's fucking nuts.
As well as there's a large number of these stories in the Middle East and in Western Asia, but those ones, I'm going to send you a picture, are specifically so there's this Western explorer, he's writing a journal, an almanac of these places in Egypt where Moses and his story occurred.
Uh-huh.
He's staying in an inn next to Mount Sinai.
Okay.
And he says, you know, they had a mermaid on display there that we were able to see. So I checked it out while I was in town. And there's this story that, like, West Asian and North African fake mermaids are being made from dried up stingrays. Look at this picture I just sent you.
Oh, what the? Yeah, I've seen those before.
Yeah, and the people are pawning these off as mermaid carcasses.
That's fucked.
Like, I guess if I'd see that, I'd be like, yeah, that's like a sea beast, for sure.
Seaman. Maybe in like the 1930s, I would be like, oh, whoa. Gee willikers, that's a fucking man from the sea.
You're too,
but in a transatlantic accent, but like...
You're too good to fall for that now?
Today? Yeah. I'd be like, that's gross.
He kind of looks like a Gizmo in the face.
You do have a little bit of Gizmo going on in the face.
So those are the guaranteed tricks of the mermaid story, but now I'm going to give you a couple of straight up sightings and encounters.
Let's hear it.
First up, 2009, we're in Israel on the Mediterranean coast.
Okay.
So the domain of Thessalonic, maybe one of her offspring. There is a dam, I believe, or some kind of large-scale water infrastructure project going on the coast.
Yeah.
And construction workers in this Israeli city keep saying that mermaids are like halting their construction and that they're messing with their work and that none of them are able to get the job done because the mermaids keep bugging them. And
I love when these stories go to the point where it's like, yeah, they're not like freaked out. They're not like, oh my God, dude, we're seeing mermaids down there. It's like, hey, the mermaids are like fucking with the job site. Can somebody take care of this?
He's like, come on. Like, but the boss is on my ass. I just need to build this wall, but the mermaids are there.
That's how you get dudes just tridenting the fucking mermaids.
Like, imagine you're a regular old 9-to-5 wage cook. And every day you go into the office, you got to go through the subway tunnel, but the goddamn, like, golem mole men are there. And you're like, guys, you're making me late to my shift every day. Can we just get on with it? And this particular incident got so bad that an Israeli official put a $1 million bounty on anyone who could give him a mermaid in 2009.
Jesus.
And I personally believe it was making the best out of a bad situation and sort of getting a little tourist haha buzz out of the situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, maybe this man would be interested in one of my deep-fried stingrays.
So dudes are turning in deep-fried stingrays?
I never heard any submissions being made, but if it was me... perhaps I'm giving him my mermaid that day and coming home with $1 million.
Yeah. I'd be out there being like, yeah, look, it's the mermaid.
And this
did he have any specifications, or were there people like bringing him the Little Mermaid action figure?
Christ, like the Ariel doll.
Trying to get some money.
No, I never was able to find any submissions. All I saw was his call to harvest the sea of its Atlantic creatures.
That's funny as fuck.
This one, it bears a striking resemblance to another one in Zimbabwe.
Uh-huh.
That, it was same thing. It's a dam being built. And,
yeah.
And that local mermaids in the lakes and rivers were protesting like the ecological effects that this dam would have, and that they were constantly being accosted by these creatures.
Oh.
So I find it interesting, like in our new, you know, modern existence, that the supernatural isn't particularly dying down. It's just coming out in new forms.
Yeah, I love that.
And this incident was in 2012, so, you know, still relatively modern. But
only relatively.
The most almost
10 fucking years ago.
The most modern, though, is my favorite.
Let's hear it.
There's a story in November of 2014.
Uh-huh.
Of a South African mermaid. So it's the story of this establishment. It is the Marula Sun Casino.
Okay.
And a bunch of employees and residents of the area complain that there is a mermaid that frequently bugs people right at the entrance of the casino.
Okay.
Like that it's like this shambling woman who comes up to the front door and like the lobbies and like bugs people and like messes with them and then shambles back into the like lake watershed right next to the entrance. And they're like, it's just this fucking mermaid. And the weirdest part is they report that this mermaid lady will like fly through the sky around the casino.
Like the Starbucks mermaid?
Apparently, like, I've never heard of a flying mermaid, but this one like is hovering around the Marula Sun Casino and just being a nuisance. She's not really like killing anyone, just sort of bothering everyone.
That's funny as fuck. She's just bugging them.
And that she lives in like the reservoir nearby.
And she's like, please, guys, please don't build the dam.
Please don't, you know, dump your industrial waste into my home.
She has a point.
I'm kind of on the side of the mermaid.
Absolutely.
But it's just like it takes the whole arc, you know, these weird, mysterious, like Caribbean creatures down to like sad Wolf Among Us style, like creatures just trying to live in a modern world.
No, that is very interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of my little arc and spin on the mermaid story. It kind of branched out and grew from the Caribbean setting, but you know, it touched me a little bit.
It's all good things, dude. No, that was a good little piece on mermaids.
You know?
Underappreciated cryptid. The whole time I was looking at mermaid pictures from the lighthouse.
Jesus Christ.
That shit is wild.
I
saw the prosthetic, you might call it.
The equipment.
The equipment, yeah. That's wacky. I can't believe that. Nobody talked about that scene when they were telling me about the movie.
Nobody told you about Willem Dafoe going straight all in on this mermaid?
Going for the mermussy.
Jesus.
That's fucking wacky.
I was waiting for it. I was like, if you don't, I'm gonna. And I'm just gonna sound like an asshole if I say it on my own segment. So,
well, are you ready to talk about move on? Talk about what I brought for you this week?
I'm so eagerly awaiting the continuation of last week's topic.
So this one kind of tones it down a bit and reins it back into reality. I saw a segment on the Alien Abductions Wiki last week just called UFO Religions. And I was like, what? And so this week I spent a lot of time digging around on the UFO religions.
Mermaids on the mind.
I got the mermussy on my mind.
This dude's down bad.
And so there's a bunch of them, and I went through and picked three of the most interesting, and I guess I want to start you off with the most, I don't know how to put this, wholesome, maybe? Least evil?
Love that.
And so this is called the Aetherius Society. And the Aetherius Society was founded by a Mr. George King in the UK in 1950s. Their belief system roughly claims that past religious leaders like Buddha, Krishna, Jesus, Lao Tzu, are all aliens from different planets who came to Earth to teach humans morality and, like, just how to be a good person and all that good stuff. It claims that they're not physically aliens from other planets, but more in the sense that the other planets are like planes of existence, you know, kind of like in fantasy or like Elder Scrolls.
Like
it exists as a celestial body, but it is also a plane of existence.
All of the Daedric planes, yeah.
And apparently the way that you attain access to these higher dimensions is through a high vibratory rate.
Oh, this is giving me Etheric Empire motifs.
Yeah, similar. If you dig far enough, I'm sure you can find a connection. They're literally called the Aetherius Society.
So, what does he mean by strong vibration rate?
I don't know. I don't know if he means like you have to put off good enough vibes, or if you literally have to like vibrate fast enough to like go into the other dimension.
Like I have to shimmy at a perfect speed to like cross over. That's kind of scary.
Like how like the Flash can vibrate his molecules or whatever stupid comic book shit they're talking about.
I always hated that, but yeah.
And they also claim that like all aliens are like good and that they're like just coming in to check up on the Earth, you know?
You're a little optimistic, I think.
Right.
With that one.
And so they have, like, their warship, I guess, is they have these spiritual pushes to draw something called prana, P-R-A-N-A. They draw prana from a mysterious entity known as Satellite 3, which is conveniently shielded from telescopes and radar, but it orbits the Earth. And a big enough spiritual pushes to Satellite 3 releases more spiritual vibe energy into the Earth.
I was just going to say, like, the way you're reading this out, I'm not quite sure how I can... How do you take part in this? Like...
Well, you can go to their website, Therius.org.
Oh, this is a still practicing group?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let me take a look.
AETHERIU.org. And it's weird. They're really into yoga.
Oh, yeah. Lots of yoga things.
Their website's pretty modern.
They have online yoga courses. Maybe I'll take a couple.
Yeah, they have like online yoga courses that are like $15. I mean, you gotta keep the lights on, you know. Like Ramtha's wants like $5,000 to teach you how to fucking, I don't know, stop the Jews or whatever racist shit she's rambling about.
This online yoga course is telling me that I will radiate positive spiritual energy and direct it to the cosmic masters.
Yes. Oh,
they want my energy?
Yes. Okay. That's the whole higher form is the cosmic masters.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm seeing one of their master yoga instructors directing his spiritual energy into a spirit battery?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm starting to get it.
Yeah, that top picture where he's, like, casting a spell on this fucking thing?
On this, like, electric grid box? Yeah. That's nice.
They're out in the middle of a canyon?
Oh yeah, I love that lady clapping in the background. Oh,
that's the founder, Dr. George King. That photo is from 1973.
That's a winner of a photo if I've ever seen one.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Dr. George King has passed on. He passed away. But he was able to enter the highest state of consciousness attainable on Earth. Cosmic consciousness. And how can you do this? 8 to 10 hours of, I don't know, fourth dimensional yoga a day.
It's like in Pathfinder, when you become a level 20 monk, you're so in with the universe that you can never die.
Yeah, it's wacky. But I mean, I don't know. I say this is the most wholesome because, yeah, they're advertising all this wacky shit to you, but, like, you go on their website and they're not like, oh, yeah, like, $400 only in person, like, for 4 hours, we'll teach you one yoga pose. Like, they're just like, I don't know. They're like, hey, $15 for this online yoga class.
Yeah, it seems like they're kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's fully a scam. They are telling, like, I mean, yeah, it's a scam. You're not going to get, like, you're not going to fucking cast fireball if you do King Yoga. But I don't know if they're trying to run a scam or this is something they're in on. It, like, who knows?
It mostly just looks like they want to charge a bunch of batteries.
It's harmless, you know? Like, everybody, like, we know, we... back to the egg on Ramtha. You know, there's a whole, there's whole support groups out there about how Ramtha is actually a fucking big evil piece of shit. But nowhere in my research for this did I find out the guy was like, oh yeah, he also, you know, was a big fucking scam runner.
Okay, so I'm pretty into this one, and the alien influence is present.
Yeah, the alien influence is there. They say that, like, you know, they say that alien ships are able to disappear so quickly because of their high vibratory rate.
Okay. Convenient.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's wacky, but, I mean, it seems like they're mostly harmless for the most part, right?
From what I can tell, for sure, this one seems, you know, out of the... out of the store-bought religions, not the worst.
Absolutely. And apparently this is all part of, like, new religious movements or new age religion, alternative spirituality. Like, there's a whole bunch of these fucking things.
Yeah, it's a certain...
Next one I want to get into is called Fiat Lux, and it is a German one. And I thought this one was going to be way cooler than it was, but it was pretty fucking lame. Yeah, like, I'm going to do an off-the-cuff one that I don't have any notes on, but was really interesting at the end of this.
Sweet.
To make up for the hole that is Fiat Lux. I got drawn into researching this one because it said they were, like, based near the Black Woods of Germany, and, like, that's... a very spooky place.
That kicks ass. Yeah, I love dark.
This is pretty much just Swedish Ramtha. You know, she claims to be God's avatar on Earth. She's a big, frequent apocalypse predictor. And she got sued by a former member who told her, you need to give me $600,000 or the apocalypse is going to happen tomorrow.
Okay, so she's... a run-of-the-mill extortionist. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, she's dead.
Hmm. Rip and piss.
So, later. It's lame. Fiat Lux was lame.
Fiat Lux is a cool name, though.
It means, let there be light, I believe. It was very Christianity-based.
Let there be...
They don't even have an official website.
Cash. Yeah, I can't find anything on there.
They're pretty small. Hmm. They sounded like they were going to be a lot more interesting than they actually were. So, I don't want to talk about the most famous one, which is obviously Scientology. I spent time researching the second most famous one, which you may or may not have heard of, called Heaven's Gate. Are you familiar with Heaven's Gate?
Is that the one that had the ending?
Yes, that is the one that ended in the mass suicide.
I watched a horror movie about that.
Was it a documentary or?
It was like 75% horror, 25% documentary, and it was about like a child that survived that event and came back as a like adult. And like the spirits were like attacking her as she explored the site. It was really weird. And it was kind of Blair Witch vibe, like they were coming to examine and document this place.
That's very strange.
Yeah, but what's up with the Heaven's Gate?
So, Heaven's Gate, they're fucking nut jobs. It was co-founded by Bonnie Nettles and Marshall Applewhite. And they didn't have a game. They weren't trying to make money. They weren't trying to do anything. I think they might have been, like, legitimately delusional.
Okay.
And so they named themselves to T and Doe, right? And originally their doctrine stated that an alien spaceship would come and those that were worthy enough would be taken onto the spaceship and they would be biologically and chemically transformed into aliens aboard that spaceship, which would then take them to this higher plane, heaven, paradise that was called the next level.
The next level.
Yeah. It's a very weird name. Now, later on down the line, the co-founder, Bonnie, she died of cancer, right? And everyone was like, well, that's fucked. How, like, because she was, like, the chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was, in their doctrine, she was chosen to seek out people worthy to board the ship.
So, was there, like a scramble to recover?
Yes. So, the other co-founder was like, well, I mean, no, actually what we really meant was that we would be, our souls would be put into alien bodies. And that we would be, will be reincarnated on the ship into our true extraterrestrial bodies.
See, that was my understanding of it, that they would all release their spirits and that the ship would be doing a drive-by at the right time and they were here to pick them up and take them to heaven.
Yeah, and then later on he changed it again and claimed that they're already aliens. It's this thing called a walk-in, which means like the original body or the original soul has left the body, and now you are alien souls trapped in a human body.
I
guess.
I'd never heard that part. It's very hard
to understand.
Yeah, I'd never...
And after he, shortly after he made that little amendment to doctrine, he claimed that the same soul that was in, that the same alien soul that was in his body was also the same alien soul that was in the body of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. So.
Oh, I.
Yeah.
Oh, you kind of gassing yourself up a little, my guy.
A little bit. But like the big ticket, I guess, like what made you worthy was like one, follow us, you know,
sure.
Follow our every word. And two, like you had to live a very ascetic and monastic lifestyle. You couldn't talk to your family. You couldn't talk to your friends, like, no possessions, like, shit like that. And, they, like, whenever they left their compound, which I guess was, like, just this house out in San Diego, it wasn't, like, an actual compound, they were, like, they were only allowed to have, like, $5 on real...
It just seems like a very high level of control for a cult like that. Like they're doing all the things they need to do to keep you isolated, to keep you, you know, in their midst.
So the weird thing is like when you dig into these cults, you come upon the part where the rule or like the leader is like, oh no, it's rules for thee, but not for me.
Of
where,
course.
Like the Branch Davidians. You know, what was the dude's name? David something. But like, he was the only one that was allowed to have sex. He had to bear that burden. So whenever someone wanted to have a kid, you could only have sex with David.
Oh yeah. I remember that one or that sort of like, yeah.
Or like when Jim Jones told everybody to drink the Kool-Aid, he said, I'm not fucking doing that. And he shot himself.
Oh, maybe I was mistaken. I thought Heaven's Gate was the Kool-Aid.
No. Heaven's Gate is not the Kool-Aid.
Oh, shit.
Heaven's Gate was in, like, San Diego.
Where was the Kool-Aid?
Jim Jones bought, like, a big plot of land down in South America somewhere.
Oh.
Central or Southern America, I can't remember. And they fucking founded Jonestown out there.
I'll have to give that one another once over. Okay.
But as far as I can tell, Applewhite like followed the same rules as all his acolytes.
Okay. So, good leader by example type figure.
I guess, which sells me to the point where, like, he was either cracked or he genuinely believed this. You know? Like, yeah. If you're just trying to control people, there's no point in you following the rules as well.
Or also offing yourself at the end.
Yeah, but he, like, another big thing was that, like, male members got castrated.
Hmm?
And he did as well.
Oh, no, see, that's the level of adherence to the faith that makes me feel like he, dude was in.
It's a little wacky. Let me pull up the... let me pull up the wiki, because there is a particularly interesting tale about the castration.
Oh God, I'm getting a little nervous.
Okay, I can't find it. But basically, one of their members was a former nurse, and they didn't want to go to hospitals. They didn't want to be in public. They didn't want to interact and associate with us, the peons, who would not be on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So they had their former nurse try to perform the fucking castrations at the house.
Oh my God.
And it failed miserably.
Like, I'm thinking of it, like, I'm getting nervous. The, like botched castrations.
Yeah, after that, the hospital.
Oh, God. So, if the, these weren't the Kool-Aid gang, what was their final, event like?
They mixed... Well, let me just get down to it.
Sure, sure.
Pull my notes back up. So, they believed that the Hale-Bopp Comet was the ship. And they were vehemently against suicide on their website.
Mm-hmm.
But they misconstrued it so much that they were like, no. If we don't leave our earthly bodies to get on this ship, that is suicide. And I'm like, what? And so that was their justification to then mix phenobarbital, which is, I guess, some medicine. I don't know anything about fucking chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's some kind of barbiturate that is good for epilepsy, but I mean, they mix together applesauce, pudding, vodka, and phenobarbital with a lethal enough dose to kill you. And, after they ate that, they would secure plastic bags over their heads to induce asphyxiation.
Oh, jeez.
And then they would go to sleep.
I'm glad I went first, because I couldn't have gone in with the mermaids after this.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And all 39 of them were dressed in identical black shirts and sweatpants and brand new black and white Nikes. And patches on the sleeve that said Heaven's Gate Away Team.
Come on. They did not.
Yes.
They were. Did. They didn't have the fucking jerseys, bro. The Nikes. Did.
They did.
Oh.
Because they had a lot of terminology that fucking made it sound like a school, you know? And that this, their mass suicide was them graduating to the next level.
Sure, sure.
So I guess they went for a school theme at the end. I mean, at least they were having fun with it, I guess.
There's something so upsetting about, like, the weird mix of, like, science fiction-y, like, pseudo-religion and, like, consumerism with the Nike stuff. This patch is haunting.
Well, apparently that's because the leader liked Nikes, so they all wore Nikes. Christ. Also, their fucking website is still up. You can go to heavensgate.com right now. Oh, I just sent you a link to it.
I'm not clicking that, bro.
Go check it out.
Oh my god. I'm clicking it live. I'm clicking it. Oh, jeez. Help up closure. This is...
They updated their website to be like, you missed.
Frightening. Who's...
Like, they... It's crazy that this relic is still here. Like, yeah, who's paying to keep this up?
Who's maintaining this?
I don't know.
Like, there's a bunch of books on sale. There's a really big R position against suicide article.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Oh, the true meaning of suicide is to turn against the next level when it is being offered. Okay.
See?
Got it.
See? It's fucking cracked. I don't, like... Yeah, this guy was in, you know? It gets sad. It gets really sad at this point because they filmed a lot of stuff. They have a lot of videos out there. And today I was looking over the I was watching the footage where every member was giving their like final testimony. Right. Then it was filmed like a few days before they did the mass suicide.
Oh boy.
And a lot of these people are like mentally ill. Like, now don't get me wrong, I'm no psychologist, I can't tell from a video, but like a lot of these people, as they're giving their statements, don't look like they're in the right mind.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess
a lot of elderly folks, and then the younger people, they did not look like they had a lot going on in their head.
I guess in a way it would be maybe more troubling if they seemed like very level-headed, very confident about, you know, what's going on.
I suppose, but then I wouldn't have to like live with the knowledge that this fucking douchebag just took advantage of mentally ill people to bolster his suicide cult.
You took like a step of dedication in your research that I don't think I would have crossed to watch these.
You don't think you could stomach watching them?
Like, the Mad Tarot Radio has a strict "I'm not going to buy your book" policy for an episode, but watching the fucking cult tapes, that's... Oh, I'm a little squeamish at that.
It's free.
Oh,
no money invested.
But like, you're taking
I think it's I think it's ironic that you said we have a strict "not gonna buy your book" to make an episode.
Yeah,
pause. Considering what we have planned for the future.
Well, if not the monetary hit, it feels like you took like a psychological hit. Like you took some psychic damage on that.
I'd say it was maybe like 2 insight.
God.
This is a 2 insight moment. Yeah.
So, like, what were some of the things they were talking about?
They were just well, a lot of them explicitly were talking about, like, no, I'm not being forced to do this. And then another group of them were like, it was like, okay, how long have you been with Heaven's Gate? Or like, oh, yeah, I'm at T&O in like the 70s, and I've been rolling with them ever since. You know, like, I'm just really grateful. Like,
yeah,
a lot of them had an attitude of like, I'm grateful that I get to be here, and I'm hopeful that you will discover the truth. Like, they were rock solid in their fucking dedication to this thing.
I'm getting like secondhand insight from hearing this. Yeah.
None of them were nervous. None of them, like, were second-guessing. None of them were doubting. They were all just like, yeah, dude, like, I'm super excited. We're going home, dude.
This is it.
Yeah. Some dude was like, yeah. They're like, this is nothing other than us just going home. No. Like, dudes were like, yeah, you know, I can't remember anything of the next level, but I'm super excited to go back. You know, like, we're all super excited to see T again. because they retroactively updated their doctrine to where, like, oh, T was reincarnated in the next level. She's there waiting for us.
T will be there. Okay.
Yeah. T will be there. There's a really, really, really weird looking shot. Let me screen cap it for you. We can put this in the video. It's nothing explicit.
Okay.
Doe's final exit. Yes, the one who lived is Doe.
Oh, one of them like lived the suicide pact?
No, the founder that lived is Doe.
Oh, out of T and Doe.
The one that lived, yeah, yeah.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So he was running the show after fucking they died. Apple White, I guess, is his earthly name. But he fucking films this shit, and he looks like... When I clicked on the video, I was like, okay, what the fuck am I about to watch?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's sitting there like a madman.
Hold on,
naming the file.
I've been nervous about sitting here waiting to receive a picture before on this show. This might be the most nervous I've been.
Here you go.
I don't like his eyes.
He has the infinite screen behind him, the fucking $10 lawn chair from Walmart.
It's all the eyes for me, bro. Look at him.
Oh yeah, he looks fucking cracked out of his goddamn mind. Another thing that I thought was really weird was that they renamed themselves once they like joined the group. But all their names have to end with the letter O-D-Y. I don't know what significance that has.
Okay.
And it's not like, it's like, oh, I'm Jody. Oh, I'm Brody. Like, it'll be like, oh, I'm Wixody. And it's like W-X-Y-O-D-Y.
Maybe it's some kind of like, we want to be ostentatiously like alien in our names, like we want that shit to look so off.
Fuck, I guess, but it's weird. I'm trying to find the reason to why they do it.
Yeah.
Oh, they also have an enemy. There's an evil space aliens called the Luciferians, who falsely represent themselves as God and have conspired to keep humans from developing. Like, they have an enemy.
That's interesting. Yeah, like, they had the whole... They've checked all their bases, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
And they were all fucking... They were all, like, sold. So... The way they had it was not everybody killed themselves at the same time. So the first group was in a group of 15, and they did it. And then, like, the next group's job was to make sure that they, like, died and then, like, clean up their bodies.
Oh, that's,
and like prep them for the ascension.
So much worse. Oh, that's so much worse than everyone drinking the Kool-Aid in a circle, bro.
And then the next group went, and then the last group went.
How do you sit there in like the third string and like watch the parade of death happen in front of you?
It's fucking nutso. It is nutso.
There's something about like the mixing of aliens with this that like even like modern earthly religions have a little bit of that, like you've got to be in for some kind of faith, you know, something that you can't see or feel, like there's an intangibleness to it,
right?
But when you add the aliens, like with like the extraterrestrial, there's like another layer of faith has to go into it that you can just go wide open wacko with it.
Oh, it's certainly fucking bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this one was nuts. I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, damn, this is going to be a rough one.
I mean
this must be talked about. So, let me hit you with a palate cleanser of sorts. No suicide cult, no, none of that fucking whack-ass shit. I want to tell you about Nation of Islam.
You mean like Malcolm X?
Yes. That is classified as a UFO religion.
Is there something I missed in the Malcolm X movie?
Check it out, bro. The Nation of Islam subscribes to the belief that UFOs are man-made machines that are piloted not by extraterrestrial beings, but by humans. It is believed that these machines will have a hand in the Day of Judgment. Its late leader, Elijah Muhammad, claimed that the biblical book of Ezekiel describes a great mother plane or great wheel. Elijah reported in his books that his mentor, Wallace Fard Muhammad, claimed that there was hidden technology on Earth which selected scientists all around the world are secretly aware of. Fard explained that he had a huge mother plane, or wheel, constructed on the island of Nippon, Japan, in 1929. Yes, Malcolm X is a member of this religion.
Yeah, like, I've done a medium-sized dig into, like, the, you know, the black nationalism and the sort of, like, communal social forces of it, but I'd never seen or even, like, sniffed any of this part of it.
It's pretty wacky. So, the current leader is Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah.
And he describes the mother plane like this. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us of a giant mother plane that is made like the universe. Spheres within spheres. White people call them unidentified flying objects. Ezekiel, in the Old Testament, saw a wheel that looked like a cloud by day, but a pillar of fire by night.
Mm-hmm.
The Han. Elijah Muhammad said that the wheel was built on the island of Nippon, which is now called Japan, by some of the original scientists. It took $15 billion in gold at that time to build it. It is made of the toughest steel. America does not yet know the composition of the steel used to make an instrument like it. It is a circular plane, and the Bible says that it never makes turns. Because of its circular nature, it can stop and travel in all directions at speeds of thousands of miles per hour. He said that there are 1,500 small wheels in this mother wheel, which is a half of a mile by a half mile, 800 meters by 800 meters. The mother wheel is like a small human-built plane. Each one of these planes carries 3 bombs.
Okay.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
I feel like I'm reading like an Arthur C. Clarke excerpt of like a sci-fi novel.
Yeah. And they're based in Chicago.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Whoever's doing PR for the Nation of Islam lately keeps that aspect of it pretty, at least in my opinion, out of the public eye.
I mean, here I am looking at it.
For my sake, I mean, like, I don't hear... I just wonder why I've never heard of this. What the heck?
It's very, very weird.
I'm like, genuinely super, like, perplexed about this.
You want me to send you the link?
For sure. Let me see.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that one was pretty interesting.
That one is really interesting.
But it was getting down to the wire, and I didn't have a lot of time to read a lot on it. So
no, even just popping it in there, I think it's a good example of the phenomenon, like the theme of like alien religion. It comes in so many different flavors and so many different sort of like,
oh yeah, it does. Yeah,
degrees of involvement. Like some of them are like praying to the ships and to the aliens, and it's going to allow them to complete their goals, and other ones, you know, just be having UFOs in them as well. No, I think it's a great like counterbalance example.
Yeah, I didn't want to talk about it too much because I didn't want to talk about racism and eugenics. You know, that's just
sure
not really our thing because they go way into it on that kind of stuff. But Nation of Islam, check it out on your own time if you want to hear more about that. But that's pretty much where I'm going to cap it off for my little aliens religions segment. Next week, I really want to bring it back into the fold, get away from all this serious, soul-crushing people taking advantage of people that are in a bad place. But I still think it merits discussion. But next week, I want to bring it back in with the funnies and the ha-has and the reptilians and all that good stuff.
Great.
So, before Christian and I let you all go, we have another viewer experience.
Oh, they're coming in hot and heavy.
And this one comes to us from good friend of the show, Tib, who I've mentioned in multiple stories. I did the Ruguru episode for him. And, yeah, good guy, good friend of the show, good friend in real life. And he sent me his sleep paralysis experiences.
Interesting. Because
he texted me after the last episode, the alien abductions, and he goes, hey, let me send you this. And I'm like, okay. So, without further ado, here are some of Tib's sleep paralysis experiences. It started around 10 years ago. The sleep paralysis episodes lasted a long time until I learned how to get out of them. It started with a simple shadow man in the corner of my bedroom. The fear sinks in when you realize that you can't move, but only stare at the shadow. A couple of episodes later, I woke to feel my body lifting up off my bed slightly, only to look up and see a shadow with its mouth wide open right on top of me. The feeling of, I guess you would say, my soul leaving my body was overwhelming. Eventually, it ended after it noticed I was awake. That episode alone was the realization that I needed to learn how to get out of these things. Episodes after that, I started basically making my shoulder move so that I would roll over, thus ending the sleep paralysis. Everything went well for a while, until I was at my brother's house. I awoke because of a female's voice whispering near me. It said, please, very, very soft and low. At this point, I was trying to get myself out with the roll technique. The voice said again, please, at a more normal volume. I'm looking around at this point, looking for something. I don't know what, but something. Then the voice screamed, please, as loud as it could, and sounded as if it was right next to me. My roll technique wasn't kicking in fast enough, but that didn't stop... My bad. But that didn't stop a cat's fighting growl from deafening my ears. Finally, I rolled out and basically stayed awake the rest of the night because everyone else was asleep, and their cats were definitely in their room on the other side of the house, so I don't know what I heard. My episode stopped for a while thereafter. It wasn't until a year ago when I first moved into a house with my roommate. The couches were facing away from the dining room towards the TV. Midday, I felt like taking a nap. As I awoke motionless on the couch, I hear a child laughing and playing in the dining room behind me. Naturally, I'm trying to roll out, and it's not working. I can hear the child's footsteps running around. The next thing I know, the footsteps stopped, as if the child turned in my direction, only to start running towards me. This is by far the worst one yet, because of the footsteps started running and pounding towards me, getting louder and louder. The scary part is, when it reached right behind me, the footsteps suddenly stopped. But my hair felt as if the child had passed by and touched my hair while it ran. It rustled. I finally rolled out of it and changed the layout of the chairs in the living room. And that's it. That's pretty fucked. Oh, I gotta say,
God. I'm having an episode here in the booth.
Are you stressed?
Hey Tib, if we ever get together, let's get a drink, because we're suffering out here. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
I also have an escape maneuver. I found that very cathartic to hear someone else using it.
What's your escape maneuver?
Mine, unfortunately, only works in nightmares. It doesn't work in sleepwalking or night paralysis scenarios.
Okay.
When I'm in a particularly bad nightmare that I want to get out of, if I blink very intentionally 3 times, on the third blink, when I open my eyes up, I am 100% looking at my ceiling. I'm awake, looking up.
Has it ever not worked?
No, that shit works. I'm on the ball with that. I'm so glad I got that, like, skeleton key out, because, it gets bad sometimes.
Are you worried that it's not going to work? Because I know one time you were telling me about your nightmare experiences, and that you had one where it was the classic dream in a dream.
It's only defeated me once. I don't think it was a result of the escape technique. I think it was something else going on there, but yes, one time I did awake out of a nightmare to be in a deeper layer of that nightmare. Like, I had awoken in my room and everything was like super felt like real life. Like, you know how dreams have a feeling?
Yeah.
This did not have that. It felt like I was awake and in my home. And then I looked over and the monster had continued its attack. And
oh,
then
that's rough.
And then I woke up again in real life. But
that is rough.
Tibbs seem a little more active than mine. Mine are very still and horrifying. His sound like whole ass episodes.
Yeah, that sounds fucked up. I really, really hated reading that.
I feel for you. I hated hearing it too, because I gotta go to bed tonight at some point. Oh my God.
I burned some sage.
I'm gonna have to burn a different fucking bush to go to bed tonight. Oh my. Oh, this was a hard-hitting episode. I got a lot of different emotions out of this one.
Yeah, I know you brought it in with the mermaids, real light, real fucking, real fun, and then I told you about suicide cults and fucking Tibbs' fucking whack-ass sleep paralysis.
No, this is what I want from the show. I want to hit it from all angles.
Oh, yes. it's great.
I'm glad people are starting to feel, comfortable enough to give us some of these sort of, very, very personal, very like sometimes troubling experiences.
Oh yeah, I mean, we're not here to poke fun at your fucking personal experiences.
Yeah,
I want to dissect it. I want to hear like some wild shit, and I want to just have a good time.
Yeah, I just want to hear it. I'm grateful for the story, Tib.
Yes, thank you for sending it in. If you would like to send in your personal experiences, you can hit us up on Instagram at Mad Tower Radio, Twitter at Mad Tower Radio, Gmail at supermadtower@gmail.com. Just in real life, shoot me a fucking text.
Yep.
Any of that good stuff, fucking get the story to us. We'll read it on the show. It's been my favorite new segment.
Oh yeah,
it's real refreshing. So keep them rolling. You got anything else to add, Christian?
No, I think I'm pretty ready to wrap it up.
All right, everybody. Then this has been Mad Tower Radio, ending transmission.
Bye.
A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.